Welcome to the Level Up English podcast, the best place to come to practice the English language, learn about the British accent and culture, with me, your host, Michael Lavers. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Level Up English podcast. My name is Michael, and today, for a change, I am trying out some headphones while I'm doing the podcast, so we'll see how this goes. I'm hearing my own voice. It sounds very strange, but let's try it and see if I prefer it or not. But obviously for you guys, it won't be any different from normal. But today we've got a topic all about comprehensible input. We had a question from Alan from Mexico, and we'll listen to his question in a minute because he wanted to ask about this. And it's an interesting area to talk about. It's something I haven't spoke about much, to be honest. And this is something that we did speak about in episode 105 of the podcast. And that was with guest Ollie Richards, who a lot of you may know. And in that episode, we spoke a little bit about comprehensible input and what that means. Although in the episode, I kept calling it comprehensive input. I'll see if I can avoid that mistake today. But we'll talk about what this word is and how you can use it to benefit your language learning. So, you know, recently on the podcast, we've been doing, I suppose, a mix of different kind of episodes. We've been doing some episodes that are just more general, random topics, I suppose, and then other episodes that are more geared towards language learners. I'll teach this phrase right at the beginning today. Geared, G-E-A-R. This means it's aimed at someone. If you're making something geared towards children, that means it's aimed at children. You're designing it for children. So some of my episodes are more geared towards language learners. Recently, though, if I look back, I spoke about big life changes. I spoke about buying a house in the UK. These are more general topics, but today it's a bit more of a language topic, so I hope that is still interesting for most of you. One thing I'll quickly mention before we get into the topic today is you may not know that I have an email community, and this is something I should talk about more. If you want to join thousands of other learners and get access to free lessons twice a month by email, then you might consider signing up. It's completely free to do so. On Thursday, two times a month, I send out an email with some updates about what I've been working on over the past fortnight. That's 2 weeks. And I also give a mini lesson. Usually this lesson is some kind of motivation or inspiration for your language learning with some new vocabulary inside. If you want to sign up and you're interested in this, then you could go to my website and go right down to the bottom and you will find the sign up link. There's also a link in your podcast app that you can click on directly to sign up. Once you do sign up, you'll get a welcome email welcoming you into that community, and you'll get 5 free lessons from Level Up English. So you can sign up and look at these lessons on the website and try them out for free. So that's another good bonus as well. But I hope to see you there. Okay, now let's get into the topic. And first of all, we'll have a listen of this audio message from Alan.
Hi, Michael. My name is Alan and I have 20 years old. I'm from Mexico and I have a specific question. I would like to know about what do you think about comprehensible input. I've been learning English and I tried different methods like studying grammar. And when I was in high school, I was basically learning English through grammar and vocabulary list. And one day I was watching videos on YouTube about learning languages, and I found a channel about this topic, comprehensible input. And it really got my attention. I am currently still learning English, and I applied this method about 1.5 years, approximately, I'm not completely sure. And I've been improving a lot, my listening, even my grammar, because I watch videos, and at the same time, I'm reading the subtitles, and it really helped me a lot in every aspect of my English.
Okay, so thank you very much, Alan, for your message. Really appreciate it. Just a quick summary here. Alan said, even though he's still young, he has tried many different methods of learning English. In school, you know, they often teach grammar and they learn through vocabulary lists and things like that. And then Alan found out about this idea of comprehensible input. He says his listening, his grammar has improved and all this kind of stuff because he's been trying this method. I think Alan is just sharing some success that he's found in English, but I thought this was great. I could share his story with you guys and also talk more about it as well. And maybe you can benefit from the same story or the same method. So thank you, Alan, again. Let's talk first about what is comprehensible input. So comprehend, that verb, to comprehend something, that just means to be able to understand something. If it's comprehensible, that's kind of like understandable. Understandable input. It's very similar. Another good expression to comprehend, it's a little bit similar to wrap your head around something. If you wrap your head around something, you can comprehend it. So it's almost like you're able to understand something. If something is too difficult for you, you cannot comprehend it. Or in a more casual way, you cannot wrap your head around it. It's a really good expression to use. But anyway, comprehensible input is language input. Remember, input is things that you go into your brain, like through your eyes, through reading, through your ears, through listening. And it's input that can be understood by a learner despite them not understanding all of the words and structures inside. So the simple way to look at this is it's one level above your current level, but it's not too far outside your comfort zone in the language. So if you Google comprehensible input and look at images, you'll often see pictures of like circles where, I'll put this up on the video on YouTube as well, you'll have a small circle, which is your current level of your language, your current level of English. Then you'll have a bigger circle that's your comprehensible input. So this is the area in which you should be focusing, the area in which you should be studying. Then the largest circle, further outside your comfort zone, this is too difficult. This material is too challenging for you. So if you're a beginner learning English, comprehensible input would be a little bit above beginner level. And that's going to be where you're learning most efficiently. If you are a beginner, again, and you're listening to advanced level materials, this is going to be too challenging for you. And, you know, we can talk about whether that is true. Like, should you listen to advanced materials as a beginner? That's something we could talk about. But yeah, there are definitely many benefits to only sticking in that comprehensible input zone. If you don't go too far outside your comfort zone, you're still learning. You're learning a bit, but it's not overwhelming and you don't lose motivation. I think that's a problem that many people find. Whenever you lose or lack motivation, it's often because you're trying to understand something that's way too high above your level. And it's kind of like climbing a mountain, isn't it? When you climb a mountain, you're taking one step at a time and you're looking at the next, you know, 10, 20, 30 steps. That's your kind of comfort level zone. It's like, I can do 30 steps, no big deal. That's my comprehensible hiking input. Doesn't really make sense, but I think you understand my metaphor here. If you're hiking up a mountain and you're looking at the whole mountain, maybe it's thousands of steps to the top, that's going to be way too challenging for you to comprehend, for you to understand. And it's going to feel really demotivating. You know, you can do it, but you have to just take one step at a time, one chunk of the mountain at a time. And I think language learning is often the same. Just focus on where you are and a little bit ahead of you. Don't try to tackle really, really difficult resources because that may lead to demotivation. However, I will say that if you really, really love language learning and you just really enjoy that process of learning, you might be fine. You might be able to listen to a native level conversation, even though you only understand 1% of what they're saying. And it may still be fine for you. For most people, that would be really frustrating. You know, listening to a big conversation, only understanding 1%, that's really difficult. But if you really just love the process of learning and you find it really exciting, then yeah, that's fine. It's not for everyone. Everyone's different. In fact, I've tried that before. When I first started learning Chinese, I would listen to what for me felt quite advanced. It was quite advanced level conversation. And at the beginning, I quite enjoyed it because maybe the first time I listened, I would understand one word. The second time, I understand two words. And it's really, really slow, but I'm kind of gradually learning each time. These days, I don't do too much anymore because even though I did enjoy some parts, I did also feel that, you know, lack of motivation coming from time to time. So that's why the advice that I have heard most often is when you're reading or listening to something in English, if you understand 95% of the words, that's probably a good level. Because if you think about it, let's say you understand 90% of the words, that's going to be easier for my math skills. If you understand 90%, that means if you read 10 words, there's one word that you don't know. And that's quite a lot. If you think about it, that's a lot of words that you don't know. If you read 100 words, that's like a small paragraph, there's 10 new words. And honestly, the human brain can only learn so much. 10 words a day is, you know, quite a lot to learn. So even 90% comprehension, remember, comprehension is how much you understand. 90% comprehension is still quite challenging. So 95% or above is quite good. If you're reading 20, 30 words and there's one new word, that's a pretty good level, I would say. So in this podcast today, I want to talk a little bit now about language acquisition versus language learning. And then I want to talk about an article I found and kind of react to that article a bit, like I used to do before. So there is a difference between acquiring a language and learning a language. Acquire, this is a verb, to acquire, means kind of to get something. Acquisition is the noun. Language acquisition is language getting, I suppose. It's just how you get a language. Language learning, we all know what learning is. Learning is sitting down and studying and trying to learn the language. Children do not generally learn a language. Children acquire a language. I'm talking about the first language here. If you think about the way children learn, they're not really learning grammatical rules. They're not sitting down and memorizing words, writing words repeatedly from a dictionary. But instead, they are acquiring the language by using it. And often this is through playing, right? They're having fun, they're being silly. And if they make a mistake, it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying that we should all learn like children, because there are many benefits to being an adult and having an adult brain as well. But there are some things I think we can learn from the way that children acquire a language. Now, I mentioned Ollie Richards at the beginning, who was a guest before on the podcast. And one thing I've heard him say before is, I'm pretty sure he said it, I'm 90% sure it was him. Children actually don't learn so quickly. There's often this misconception in language learning that children pick up a language really fast. But if you think about it, they really don't. You know, if you follow a child, they can take 10 years to kind of speak at a basic level. You know, no one really thinks a 10-year-old can speak really advanced English. It's not exactly what you should be aiming towards as a learner, right? And when you're a teenager, this is where you start picking up kind of more advanced vocabulary. But even like from my own experience myself, maybe I'm a slow learner, but I didn't really expand my vocabulary very much until my 20s. And that was when I was getting a lot more input in English, in reading and listening. And I was learning all these more advanced words. But pretty much through the first 10 years and a few more years, your English is still developing. So it's not that fast to learn English for children. It's not as fast as people say. But having said that, there are things that we can learn from children. So one of them is repetition. Children repeat things again and again and again. And I think this is something that we can definitely copy from them, repeating the words over and over again and not caring too much if we make a mistake. You know, as long as people understand what we're saying, we're not worried too much. And surprise, surprise, those mistakes don't stay forever. Even if the child is not being corrected, they will eventually fix their own mistakes. So I think this is quite reassuring that you don't need to worry about making mistakes too much. I think you need to have faith, right? Have faith in yourself, trust yourself that any kind of little things you are doing wrong, you will fix them over time eventually. So don't worry too much. In my opinion, that's one of the biggest things that classroom learning gets wrong, and this kind of more traditional way of learning a language, is this emphasis on doing it correctly, being so correct. When you learn a language, you realize there's so many different ways to say the same thing, and a native speaker doesn't care about being correct anyway, right? I'm not saying you should speak bad English. I think it's important to learn the rules before you can break them, but we shouldn't worry too much about being correct all the time. That's my opinion anyway. If you have fun with the language, if you play with English, you will get more correct over time naturally without kind of forcing yourself to speak perfectly. I always say, I've said it many times before, I would much prefer to listen to someone who speaks at a natural speed with quite a few mistakes rather than someone who speaks really slowly but perfectly. That's not easy to listen to. I'd rather natural speed. That's not fast, it's just natural. So I want to give a shout out. I want to let you know who I am reading this from or where I'm reading this article. And this is from Optolingo, an article from Optolingo called Comprehensible Input, How to Learn a Language Fast. Very catchy title, but I think they do have some good advice here. So on their website, on the page here, you will also see that picture that I was describing before at the beginning, and they're describing comprehensible input as language that is not too hard, not too easy. They're talking about the Goldilocks zone. If you know your fairy tales, if you might remember Goldilocks was the girl who tried the porridge, I believe, from the bears, the three bears. One was too hot, one was too cold, one was just right, just in the middle. That's called the Goldilocks zone. So the biggest problem here is if your language materials are too hard or too easy, then you'll probably get bored or you'll get demotivated and you'll stop paying attention. Learning English will probably be much more fun when you keep in this Goldilocks zone, that special level where it's not too hard and not too easy. So there's a theory of second language acquisition, input hypothesis. Don't worry too much about these words, it's not super important. But this is something developed by Stephen Krashen. If you are a language nerd, you will know or will have heard of Stephen Krashen. And I'm going to talk briefly now about the five stages of language acquisition. So the purpose of these stages is to show you how your brain acquires a language. Remember, not learns a language, but talks about the acquisition of a language in your brain. And the idea is if you know these stages, you learn about this input hypothesis, then you will be, better equipped. You'll be more ready to reach fluency in English. So the first one here is we all learn a language in the same way. We're all the same in that sense. If we model how children acquire their first language, we can experience more success. And I think what's special about the way children acquire their language is the fact that it's natural, right? It's not something that we're trying to force. It's just how it naturally happens, because language is something that's natural for humans. For many, many, many thousands of years, the human brain has kind of evolved this, this ability to use language. And I think this has been shown in many studies before. Reading and writing is not natural, because if you live in a cave with no other resources, you're not going to really read and write. You might draw pictures, but trying to communicate and use your mouth to talk to people, that is very natural for all humans. So the next one is called monitor hypothesis. And this is really interesting. This talks about how grammar is not the most important thing. So you may know lots and lots of English grammar, but that does not correlate to English fluency. That does not mean you will be fluent in English. So this says, we all plan and correct our speech based on our current understanding of grammar, but we only do it after we're familiar with the grammar rule and to kind of fix mistakes in our speech. It's not necessary. So in other words, you're kind of subconsciously learning the grammar as you go. So a lot of people who learn a language, they don't really study grammar as they are learning, or I should say acquiring the language. The grammar is naturally kind of being understood and figured out by the brain. And, you know, if there are mistakes that you're really unsure about later, you can go and look them up and help your brain understand it a little bit more, but it's not necessary. And I guess this is the idea that it's totally possible to learn a language without studying grammar rules. So again, we're just talking about this theory from Stephen Krashen today. A lot of people have found success in this, but again, you have to think about what you enjoy. Sometimes I quite enjoy looking at grammar. I like to think it's helpful. I use the Chinese grammar wiki, going on the wiki, learning some grammar, practicing the grammar. I think it's quite enjoyable and it feels quite fun to do. But yeah, maybe I could be learning faster if I didn't do that. I don't know. It's hard to say. Number three is the input hypothesis, which you spoke about before already. This is focus on acquiring and not learning the language. So in other words, if you expose yourself to the language, you will learn naturally. But the key here, again, is comprehensible input. So things that are your own level plus one, just above your level. And of course, the tricky thing is finding these resources. That can be hard. But once you found something, stick with it for as long as you can. In fact, that's why I try to kind of keep the level intermediate, kind of higher intermediate level on this podcast, where I'm not really slowing down my language too much. I think there are so many English resources that are really basic and for beginners. And once you get to a higher level, it's harder to find materials, right? So my goal here is to fill in that gap in the middle to give materials to those learners like you, hopefully. The next one, number four, is the effective filter hypothesis. And this is saying that you need the optimal environment to help you learn. Optimal just kind of means ideal or suitable or perfect. You need that good environment to help you learn. In other words, you need to feel really motivated and you need to have a good level of confidence in the language. If you feel anxious or stressed, that's not going to help your language learning journey. And of course, one way in which you might feel stressed or anxious is if you're learning with materials that are too difficult for you. So it ties back really nicely to the previous one. And the fifth one is a really big one, something that I need to think about more myself as well. And this is the natural order hypothesis. Natural order. So this is that you learn grammar in a natural order, a predictable order, and you cannot kind of rush ahead to more difficult grammar. And this is because you sometimes need to know the previous grammar structures to understand the more advanced ones. You know, if you're just learning English and you're trying to learn the third conditional, which is like, if I had gone home, I would have been happier. There's no sense in learning the third conditional if you haven't learnt the first, you know, zero and first conditionals. They're the basic ones, right? So don't try to rush ahead too much and don't try to rely on grammar too much, because you will be frustrating yourself. You'll be trying to use things that are just too hard for you. And this idea, this hypothesis, is saying that there's a natural order in learning. So I think that's a really good point to remember. I think we shouldn't worry too much about all these grammar rules, and I think we should try to stick with what we're comfortable with. And if we really don't understand something, then maybe it's a sign that we have to wait. You know, maybe it's something that we should do in the future when we're more confident. If something's really, really difficult in English, don't feel bad about saying, maybe I'm just not at that level yet. Maybe I can wait and do it in a few months' time. You know, don't feel like you have to learn everything right now. This whole topic is somewhat new for me in some sense. A lot of it I've been talking about for years, but the specific idea of the input hypothesis and this kind of list is not something I really spoke about before, which is why I'm using an article to guide me today. But there's a reason I feel so passionate about a lot of the topics I've mentioned today. And it kind of relates back to why I got into online teaching in the first place, because I had a really tough time in school. In fact, I just hated school. I've mentioned it before. I really disliked school. I particularly disliked the language classes at school. They made language seem so boring and dull, and it was really just sitting down in a dark classroom, memorizing grammar and things like that. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that as well. So my motivation for teaching online was to make English learning more fun, more enjoyable, and kind of showing people that it doesn't have to be learning grammar rules and stuff like that. I do talk about grammar rules sometimes on the podcast, and that's sometimes based on listener requests, but also it's because I do quite enjoy grammar and stuff like that. As a language learner, a language nerd, I do enjoy looking at that stuff. But if you ever see an episode that isn't for you, you're welcome to skip it. However, I will say when I do talk about grammar, I like to think I try to make it fun. You know, I try to cover it in a fun way. I try to do it in a natural way where we're looking at stories and real life examples. And it's not just me telling you the rules. You know, that's my memory from school. So if you think I've been successful there, let me know. So I think I'm going to talk about this topic a little bit more on the private podcast this week. I'm going to talk about it more there in a more casual way, even more casual than this podcast so far. So I'm going to be exploring this topic more, learning about it with you. So if you want to listen to that, you can become a member at Level Up English. There's a link in your podcast app to take you to the place where you can do that. And you can listen to over 80 episodes of the private podcast, only available for members. And yeah, join me there this Friday on that topic. But I think for now, I'll just summarize and say, if you are feeling demotivated and stuck in your English, you don't know what to do next, maybe you're really fed up with your current study routine, or maybe you don't have a study routine, then this is something to consider. Just like Alan has done, maybe you could consider focusing more on comprehensible input and focus on language acquisition rather than language learning. So immerse yourself in the language no matter where you are in the world. Get lots of listening and reading practice, lots of them, one level above your current level. Not too difficult, remember. And when you learn a new word, don't feel like you need to write it down. You don't need to write things down to learn them. It does help sometimes, for sure, but it's not necessary. If you just want to listen and read and talk and write, that is fine. You don't need to kind of study in a traditional way. So let me know if that is something you're going to be trying, or maybe there's some ideas from today's podcast that you would like to implement, which means use, in your own language learning journey. Let me know what you think. And if you think there are any other benefits that children have that we can learn from, then let me know as well. I mentioned a few already, but let me know if you think of any more that I may have missed. But I hope you've enjoyed this episode anyway. I don't think I'll keep these headphones on, by the way. I don't like hearing my own voice in my head too much. It's not so nice. So maybe next time I'll take them off. We also have a podcast review today from someone with an Arabic name, and they said, a week passed since I found out about this podcast, and I can't just set my hands over it. I guess we could say, I can't take my hands off it. I can't stop using it, I think you mean. I love how Mike is so friendly. It feels like he's talking in front of you, and it happens to be me responding to him in my place. Though Mum always finds it a bit creepy. Hello, Mum. I don't know who this person is, what this person is called, but hi, Mum. How are you? Either way, keep it up, please. We need these. Thank you so much. That's a really funny review, and I really appreciate it. So thank you for taking the time to listen and leave that review. And that is from Iraq. One more from Qatar, from A27072019. And they said, I live in Qatar. I'm so happy that I listened to this amazing podcast. I'm planning to take the IELTS exam. I hope to get 7. Well, thank you and good luck on your IELTS exam. I really hope you can get your 7. Fingers crossed for you. Thank you. So let's finish now with a quote from Stephen Krashen himself. He says, you want to get better at another language? Listen and read, listen and read. When was the last time you did one of them? Probably right now, because you're listening to me, I guess. That was a silly question. Anyway, thank you for listening. And if you want to read the transcript, you can do that. Thank you for reading. I will see you in the next episode, or maybe on Friday. Thanks again. Ciao. You have been listening to the Level Up English podcast. If you would like to leave a question to be answered on a future episode, then please go to levelupenglish.school/podcast. That's levelupenglish.school/podcast. And I'll answer your question on a future episode. Thanks for listening.